Hey, this is ZZ from my latest sponsor, ExpressVPN. You know, Netflix has different content available to users depending on where they're located. Netflix has thousands of shows, but you can only get access to a fraction of that because of where you are. If you're utilizing Netflix without using ExpressVPN, it's like paying for a gym membership but only being able to use the treadmill. So, how does this work? ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have almost 100 different server locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new shows. I'm talking like Star Trek, the original series on UK Netflix, Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Canadian Netflix, Rick and Morty on French Netflix, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on Indian Netflix, the Harry Potter movie series on Australian Netflix. The list goes on and on. In the Easy household, we utilize ExpressVPN, and we've unlocked so much content that my family and myself can enjoy. But then you might be like, Eric, we can use other VPNs. No. Listen, blazing fast speeds, stream in HD with zero buffering, compatible with all of your devices, phones, laptops, media consoles, smart TVs, and more, and it encrypts your data. ExpressVPN has the added benefit of encrypting your data so you can browse the web securely. Look, be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/Zane. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/Zane to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free.
What's going on, friends? How are you? Welcome in the live stream of the Eric Zane Show podcast. Kick it off with a hello to the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. 231-332-6505. Great group over there. Things are looking up. Just opened up another office, this time in Grand Rapids, Michigan. First one is in Muskegon. And there are many, many, many Van Dyke Mortgage locations throughout the United States. Okay? You got this one big wig named Tom Van Dyke. He's the guy. He's the man. And then he's like, okay. And they branches out and all these great people, their offices open up, and Mario's one of those guys, and he called upon me to tell you about him so that when you need a mortgage, you could please consider going through him. Call Mario at 231-332-6505. You can also find out more information on their website. Just go to my website, ericzaneshow.com, and click on Mario's logo, which you see right over my shoulder, right there. NMLS number 3035. Thank you to Mario. Okay. Then there's my friends at Blue Frost IT, man. Okay, so in and around West Michigan, if you're in an office and the tech sucks and all these problems are mounting up, maybe your software isn't supported anymore, the computers are slow, you got a problem with the routers, and it's like one thing after the other. Yeah, if you try to piecemeal all of that together and fix it on your own, it might be a little bit of a struggle. You might not do it right. You might cause more trouble than you had in the first place. Why don't you call Blue Frost IT and just say, yeah, can you just kind of fix all of this? Give us a tech gear upgrade. And then he's going to go, sure. Alan's going to sit down with you. It's going to take a little bit of time. No big deal, but that's how it works. Okay, you're going to need new monitors, computers, printers, hard drives, routers, firewalls. It all needs to be upgraded. It starts with this moment that I'm talking about right now, the complimentary consultation. Order all the stuff for the setup. They take care of everything. You just tell them, and then they do it. Wouldn't that be nice to just go, all right, great, we're getting an upgrade. Okay, that's one of the many things that they do at Blue Frost IT. So whether you are the man or the woman in charge of the business, or maybe just someone who's helping those people, either you're the decision maker or someone who can influence the decision maker, keep Blue Frost IT in mind, okay? 616-200-8550 or send them an email, info@bluefrostit.com. That's the website as well, bluefrostit.com. It looks like bluefrostit.com. So dumb. So thank you to them. And then, of course, my friends at the Kent County Health Department. Oh, boy. AccessKent.com/health for anything pandemic-related. AccessKent.com/health. Find out where to go for the COVID testing. Find out when you can get a COVID test. All right? Find out about vaccinations that aren't COVID-related for your kids. Also, if you need to look into helping keep food on the table, money is tight for some of you. That's okay. They can help you get past that with the WIC program. That's something that we all have access to, and you should if you need it. AccessKent.com/health. Okay. All right. Before we get started, it is your coming up, Fern, birthing moment.
This is my fully vegan baby. He is breastfed, and I am mostly fruitarian. I eat about 80% fruit. I had a super easy pregnancy with him. I didn't get any stretch marks. His weight gain is perfect. He's super healthy. I was vegetarian with my first baby, and I was really sick that pregnancy. I didn't get sick at all this pregnancy, and I literally only gained baby weight.
Good to know. Fruitarian, vegan baby, all that stuff. Thank you, Fern, and thank you, Randall, for putting that in my head. It's the 21st of January, 2021. Let's do this.
Hey, this is Blue State Rob, and you're listening to the Eric Saint Show podcast.
We did this one yesterday.
A show hosted by a liberal Republican whose ancestry dates back to the small country of Armenia and fueled by bouts of anxiety and adult attention hyperactivity disorder, also known as ADHD. It's not the best, but still better than radio. Anyway, here's your host, Eric Saint.
Such a kick in the dick there. It's not the best. Welcome in the Eric Saint Show podcast. This is a daily show. Right talk news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. Welcome to it, and thank you so much for being here. You can follow the show on Twitter at Eric Zane Show, brought to you by Blue Frost IT. If you would, that would be fantastic. Follow the show on Twitter. And with that, of course, there is a Periscope video. So you, if you're watching it, please retweet right this very second. I would love that. And then what you do is you retweet it with comment, and you put like some jerk statement. If you really want to hear a garbage show, listen to this catastrophe. So retweet it with a snarky-ass comment. Some of you have already taken that up and run with it. I've seen that from many of you. Thank you. Also on Facebook, brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid. Hi to my friends on Facebook as well. Share, share, share. I pray to baby Jesus just one time I could get 20 people to share the post. How hard is it? Is it that ridiculously embarrassing? Oh, my God. Please, always, each and every day, make it part of the ritual. Make it a habit. Share the hell out of it. And hello to you all. And then on the almighty YouTube, if you could subscribe to me on YouTube, Eric Zane Show on YouTube, and then hit the bell notification and then the thumbs up button. And that's how we do it. That's part of the game. So thank you. Thank you, thank you. I'm on Instagram, Eric Zane Show. That's brought to you by the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. We did Instagram Instant Trivia last night. Josh, a winner again with the question, what race is the second crown or second jewel of the Triple Crown horse race? And that took him a while, but he got it. He got the answer. Congrats. I had a question for Kevin Kuipers before that, and the question was, what weapon would utilize, okay, it was described as in a castle in England, they had slits cut into the stone, okay, to accommodate what weapon? Go ahead and guess if you're enjoying the live stream and you didn't get the answer. Maybe if you, I don't care if you, just put it up there. What weapon was accommodated on castles in Great Britain with a cross with slits cut into a cross. I know it's taken me a while to get that out, but I've said it twice. What weapon? And I don't know how he did it, but he goes, and he thinks about it, and he goes, an AK-47. I'm like, dude, there were so many clues in there that would tell you at least that it's not an AK-47. A castle. Okay, that's medieval. That's way back. And it cut in slits cut into a cross. Who doesn't know the answer to this? I mean, if you don't know the answer to this, you're probably not exposed to maybe history, not good with history, but you're probably not going to say, and that's okay if you don't know it. I don't want you to feel dumb. I want Kevin to feel dumb because he said an AK-47. Oh, my God. The answer is crossbow. Tarantula Farmer says, same shirt as yesterday, eh? And it's funny because I was contemplating changing it. And as I've detailed before to you, a lot of these days when you're podcasting and you don't have much to do because of the pandemic, it's like I'm in here doing the show and then the day ends and then it's time to go to bed. So I just rip off, throw it down on the ground and yesterday was the Grand Haven hoodie. This is 2 days ago. So there is 1 day buffer. But this was laying right there by the bed. So I'm kind of guilty of it. So who cares? Don't pick apart my wardrobe. I don't have much to go on. I've got t-shirts and hoodies. And that's the way it's always been. And that's the way it's going to be. All right. So, yeah, Monday through Friday, I'm here with all these great folks. Thank you so much for being here and being part of the show. Where am I? I'm losing my mind already. Okay, today might be a little nutty because I got to be out of here at a certain time. So, you know, where it's quite common to blow past 2 hours, that is not going to be the case today because I have a freaking dentist appointment, and it seems like I haven't been there in like 5 years. It might shorten the show to some degree because I have to be there at a certain point in time, and I don't like the pressure, okay? I just don't like it. Yesterday, it was that virtual doctor's appointment, which, God, seriously, the pandemic is leading us to some things are silver lining. Jocko Motivation, hey, there's a pandemic. Good. Don't have to go to the doctor as much and see that person, see the doc face to face. So, you know, when you have my scenario where I'm like, hey, I think I need to be back on this anxiety medicine, you'd have to go to the doctor. Nowadays, you don't have to do that shit anymore. You do the virtual visit. It saves an incredible amount of time. And the ease just sitting here, just hit the button. There's a doc. Hey, doc, how are you? Yeah, I think I'm losing. I'm going cuckoo. All right, well, I'm not going cuckoo. So then I give them all of the background about how, yeah, I got off the medicine for the kidney donation. Okay. Now what? So then they go, all right, we're definitely going to do that. The prescription is available. You're going to go pick it up at the Walmart pharmacy. Off you go. And now this medicine, what it does to you is when you take it, it is a non-habit-forming anti-anxiety medicine, and that's very important for me. I can't have anything that has, like, addictive properties to it because it just doesn't agree with me at all. So what you do is you take this medicine, and you don't even start to feel the effects of it for many days, sometimes weeks, sometimes a month. Excuse me. What the medicine does is it talks to your brain and says to your brain, all right, we're going to need some more of something called serotonin. And I think that's one of the feel-good chemicals, okay? And it just really, really slightly increases the production of it. So the brain's like, all right, we're going to work a little harder, make a little bit more of this serotonin. This guy's kind of a fuckface. He's kind of a crying bitch. He's always upset. He's always like worried about everything. So I guess we're going to throw him a bone and give him a little more serotonin. But we don't have the manpower here. What are we going to do? Oh, here comes this medicine. Okay, this medicine's going to do it. All right, guys, put on your hard hats. Let's make some more serotonin for this dumb bastard. So then that takes a little time. And then slowly the serotonin levels increase. And then that's it. You're good. That's what you do. So I'm just so happy about that. So then I'm like, I'm off. I'm off yesterday. I'm going to get my medicine. One day closer to less white knuckling it and worried and I'm gonna crash and burn. I suck. Everything I do stinks. One day less of that, you know, self-loathing and idiocy. Oh my God. I get there, go walking up to Walmart, and I'm like, I guess I'm at the wrong entrance. You know, sometimes with the pandemic, you know, we go in one door and there's a guy there. Looks like the missing link with a counter. And then I go over to the other door and then nothing. I look and there's no cars. I realize it doesn't even that they're closed. I'm like, how the hell? Ridiculous. I take it back. The pharmacy was closed. I got into the store and then the pharmacy is. What pharmacy closes this early? Seriously. But on Wednesdays, they close the damn thing at 7 o'clock. So I'm like, shit. Went all the way there. Had to go all the way home. My God. So today, on the show, cancel culture claims another victim. Now, you know times are tough when it happens to an entry-level Taco Bell employee. What is the national minimum wage? Isn't that something that they've been talking about raising? I think Biden, one of his things he talked about was increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Can you imagine the Taco Bell employee, like in Michigan here? What is the minimum wage in Michigan? I'm guessing like $8.50. Michigan minimum wage. Oh, I was a little off. $9.45 an hour. Can you imagine being the Taco Bell employee who makes $9.45 an hour and suddenly you're up to $15 an hour? You're going to be like, holy crap, I cannot believe this. This is incredible. This Taco Bell employee, though, was in Arkansas. And, worked there a week and canceled because of something that this person had been engaged in. The word got out. One state in the United States talks about sex on social media more than any other state. We'll take a look at that. Stand by. And the Powerball lottery. Wow. Holy crap. So as I said, Dennis today may shorten the show. Yesterday, inauguration. Maybe have been one of the weirdest things ever. It's tough, and I don't blame anybody. It's tough pandemic-wise to get any type of, real celebratory vibe to it. About the only thing that I thought was had that type of celebratory feel to it was the actual swearing in of the people. And let me just say this. In all seriousness, with everything that has taken place with leading up to yesterday, and I go back to when Trump was trying to become president, to winning the election, to then the next 4 years, to Capitol insurrection, January 6th, to yesterday. If you take one look at that inauguration and one look at who is now the boss, and you are digging your heels in and enraged and willing to then go and try to be destructive on social media and attacking people and being an overall asshole, then you are the problem. You are the problem. Would you just do me this one solid? This is all I'm asking you to do. Would you just give these people a chance, okay? You don't have to like it, and you don't have to like it down the road if what happens happens. You don't at all. All I'm suggesting to you is relax, worry about what's happening in your world first and foremost, and then take everything a little bit slower. That's all I'm suggesting to you. The reason why this comes up is because I talked with a person on the phone yesterday who was at the D.C. rally. And he was there, and he told me, I go, well, did you storm the Capitol? I mean, am I gonna be turning you in? And he goes, no, I didn't do that. I left after Trump and Giuliani spoke. Okay, all right. So then I kind of left it there. That I actually told you that story. I told you I go, my God, what a shit show. And he goes, yeah, not as bad as what the media made it seem. And I go, well, there's 5 dead people. It was pretty bad. It's tough to put a positive spin on 5 dead guys. I think it was 1 dead woman, 4 dead guys. It's tough to put a positive spin on dead cop. Okay, I think it was accurately portrayed. Okay, well, this is that guy. Finished on my conversation with him. I go, so I'm guessing you were pretty felt pretty patriotic and enlightened and energized by the inauguration. He goes, no, not at all. I was depressed. I'm like, dude, don't be depressed. Come on. You are the president of you. Worry about you, okay? If the guy who needs medicine to correct his mood is telling you that you're worrying too much, you're really worrying too much. There's really something going on there. Would you just shh? Let it be. Kenny, let it be. Let it be. There ain't a damn thing you can do about it anyway. So just, you know, I mean, come on, man. Seriously, we all got to work together here. Everybody had to get along in the last 4 years, and frankly, I don't know how great of a job we did. So I think that people that are supportive of Biden and his presidency, and Democrats in general, need to be respectful to people who supported Trump. You need to listen to these people. You need to pay attention to how they feel with the world, and you cannot dismiss their thoughts and how and what is important to them. And I think that red staters need to do the same thing for blue staters. Again, it all boils down to lowering the temperature. Okay, it's okay to disagree. It's not okay to have it to the level where there's hatred. Okay, that is all I'm getting at here. Okay, so that's all I'm saying. So Trump is out. I saw when he's leaving, there's a picture of him holding up a fist. And I was like, you know, that's weird. It looks like a black power symbol. Holy crap. Biden, he talked in this clip about, because it's been a tradition for the presidents for, I think, 39 years now, to leave a note for the next president, which I was shocked that he did. Trump left a letter for Biden. Trump did not go to the inauguration. I thought that was all bullshit. I thought that I thought that everything from election day to now has been bullshit. All the nonsense about the about contesting the election, I thought that was all horseshit, and I didn't believe a word of it, even though I voted for the guy. You heard me. I talked about it on January 7th. But Biden is sitting there in the Oval Office yesterday, and he is making a comment about the letter that Trump left him. And that was the first time I had heard that there was a letter. It starts with, it sounds like a press secretary trying to shoo everybody out of the Oval Office. Well, Biden is in there trying to, and then Biden goes, oh boy, he goes ahead and undoes all it with all these executive orders. You remember 4 years ago when Trump was holding up all the things? We're going to make this pipeline work, and we're going to use our own pipes, and this is what we're going to do. Biden reversed like almost all of that. He said, we're not doing that anymore. In fact, we're not building the wall. Can you imagine being the guy at the border wall? He's like, He's like turning a screw or something like that. And then they go, all right, come on down. We don't have any more funding. We're all done. We're going home. That was all wiped out. They're not building the wall anymore. Major changes to immigration right away. They put a moratorium on deporting people. There's all sorts of things that are changing, like in an instant, with the stroke of a pen. Joining the Paris Climate Accord was another thing. World Health Organization. So all these things that Trump was like, we're not doing this anymore, Biden puts back into place. And that was all within the first few hours. But then this whole business about the letter.
Very generous letter.
You guys, let's go.
The president wrote a very generous letter. It's because it was private. I will not talk about it until I talk to him. But it was generous.
That doesn't tell us too much. A very generous letter. Does that mean instead of a hand drawing one middle finger, it was multiple middle fingers all over the piece of paper that said, "Hey Joe, fuck off." Oh my God. I don't know about you, but I am very, very curious as to what was said on that. And if I'm Biden, I'm like, that's the first thing I do. I tell the world about what's on that letter. I want to see what's on that letter. You know, I'd like to think, though, in all seriousness, that's all a joke, that Trump was civil in it. And I don't know. Maybe this is the first step towards not being such a weirdo thing going forward. One can only hope, you know. All right. Where am I here? Brain is rambling. Okay, Powerball. Oh, my God. One person won the Powerball. One individual found in the $730 million Powerball drawing last night. The money spent revealed that 36% of all possible number combinations had been covered. So that's... to me, that doesn't sound like a ton, but the people that work for the lottery said that typically when it starts to get that high, then someone is likely to win. But I wonder if during the scope of the lotteries over the years, there have been some big ones. The biggest one was $1.58 billion, a Powerball jackpot. How many of the number combinations were actually given away or were actually sold? Three people won that one in 2016, which means that this one means that the amount of money is probably the most money ever won by an individual. Unless it was like a crazy group of people, you know, that pool their money together. This was the fifth largest jackpot ever. But remember, this has been in tandem because the Mega Millions still grows. I purchased a ticket for the Tuesday night drawing, just one. I last time I spent $10, $5 on the Mega Millions, $5 on the Powerball. And you know what? I had remorse. I'm like, fuck, what am I doing? I don't have money to be spending on a fucking lottery. So I bought one measly ticket, one. And I didn't get one fucking number. Holy shit. That thing will be at $970 million when they draw the Mega Millions. Holy crap. No one had won either of the jackpots since mid-September, allowing the prizes to grow steadily for months. Not sure. Let's see. Does it say where the winner came from? Do we know that yet? I don't think so. Story isn't that old, but the prizes listed are for winners who choose an annuity option paid over 30 years. Most winners opt for cash prizes, which lowers it. So if you did win the $970 million for the Mega Millions, and then you took the cash, they give you $716 million. And then federal taxes, and then state taxes. So when it's all said and done, I don't know, you're looking somewhere north of $300 million when all the taxes are paid. God, that is crazy. So if you could also take the annuity option paid over 30 years, which then you would get all of the money over the 30 years. Hell, I would just do that. I don't know. I guess I would talk to an expert. What are the advantages of taking the cash over the annuity? I mean, my God. But there you go. $970 million up for grabs. The intro of this show is done. I got a reminder for you that you can now save 10% on my Patreon. The Patreon podcast is going to happen today after the dentist appointment. If you're on month to month on Patreon, convert that thing to a yearly, and then you're going to save 10%. Okay. Patreon, bringing you the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast, my daily Patreon bonus, Insane Asylum, my music driven radio show, and Northern Michigan's Q100. Smarter Than a Former Drug Dealer Trivia is on for Tuesday of next week. Still don't know what the hell is up with Kevin in Muskegon. Haven't heard back from him. And what else? What am I forgetting? Oh, the Lost Zane Recordings, Mondays and Fridays on my Patreon, which features full shows from my time at 107.3 WBBL. It's like a time capsule. We're in mid-May 2016, so you're going to hear, like, when we get to the point in the calendar where Trump wins the election and the reaction. And so it's literally like an audio time capsule. That's all on my Patreon. Tag accounting. It's tax season. Damn it. 616-301-9516 for tag accounting. Get on board with Troy Ginzer. I've got several of you that did it last year. I would love you to be repeat customers and new customers as well with Tag Accounting online at tagcpa.net. Okay? Have Troy do your taxes anywhere in the United States. Better than H&R Block, better than freaking TurboTax, better than you sitting there like, oh, God, with the pencil and papers all across the desk. Just give him all of your gear, and he'll take care of everything for you. Anywhere in the USA, you can upload it via his online portal. So easy to do. Thank you, Tag Accounting, 616-301-9516, online at tagcpa.net. We have more gun classes, I'm understanding. Thank God for Steve Prince, who I'm actually going to interview next week. Steve Prince from Prince Arming. He also is in charge of a terrific, helpful, charitable organization known as Warriors Set Free, which helps first responders and military who are trying to get back to regular everyday life and struggling with PTSD be treated in a therapeutic fashion through Bible and scripture and prayer. And it's really cool. And I just love talking to him about it because he's he's probably the best person for it. And he's just excellent. And I cannot wait to have him on again. But he has gun class coming up with Prince Arming Saturday, January 30th. Okay. That is an 8 a.m. start. The next day, Sunday, January 31st, there's CPL training. So if you're in West Michigan, something to think about, take the class, and then you can get your pistol license. And then he's got a class he just announced Saturday, February 20th. Okay. It's going to take you one day. At the end of the class, you have all you need to go to your county in Michigan and then sign up to get your concealed pistol license. The class costs $125. You can get to his Facebook page by going to facebook.com/PrinceArming or go to PrinceArming.com or just call the guy 616-204-1705. Okay, man. I watched a little bit more of the Tiger Woods documentary yesterday. Oh, my God. What a freaking mess. This is part two of the documentary. I think that's it. I'm not quite through it yet, but we're to the point in the story of Tiger Woods where, okay, now they're starting to introduce the salacious scenario with the women. Oh, my God. This was so freaking messy. And I can't, for the life of me, begin to think about how Woods ever thought he could pull this off. Because, well, we all know that there was many, many women, but it was the extent of the relationships with the women, which is something that they talk about. Now, hold on. Let me get my thoughts here. Where are we? On the audio. Okay, this is how it all started to unfold for Tiger. Tiger, after his dad died, first of all, he was really involved with the Navy SEALs. Armin Katayan, Armenian, who wrote the book, detailed it as Woods wanted to go with the Navy SEALs and hang out with them and train with them at this facility somewhere in the United States, some mountain facility where SEALs train. And Woods spent all this money to get SEAL training. And they even talked, and there he is. He's like climbing a wall. He's going up a rope. He's shooting a pistol, and he's way into it, you know. And they were like, why does he do that? And they said, well, it was after his dad died, and they think the passing of his dad had something to do with it. And there was a point that his caddy, who's featured in this documentary, said that Tiger Woods was considering quitting golfing and actually joining and trying to be a Navy SEAL. What? But that's the way the guy was wired. But one of the things he was also into was slaying poon. And this started because he started to hang out in Vegas with pals Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley. Which, if you're Jordan and Barkley and you're married right now, bummer for you. Because I don't know how these guys, I mean, where they are in their relationships. But they talk about how Jordan and Barkley would get tons of chicks. And how they would go to clubs and just people who would run the clubs would want them there. And because of that, they would service them. And like if you ran the club, your job, if you ran the club, and they're all hot chicks, would then go and tap hot chicks that are in attendance at the club and say, why don't you go over here and meet Michael Jordan? And she talks about that.
Bottle service. I mean, women are literally throwing themselves at them.
Jordan.
In that entourage, Tiger was a bit of a geek.
Tiger, looking right over here.
Tiger, this way, please.
He had a good smile.
It wasn't like he was like Mac Daddy, like Casanova. You know, those guys really didn't have to be. Their host did all the work. We would pick out the pretty girls and say, hi, would you like to go up and party with Michael Jordan?
Tiger asked, what do I say to these women? And Michael, to his ever-loving credit, goes, you tell them you're Tiger Woods.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Tiger Woods.
I'm sorry.
Bottle service.
Tiger was a bit of...
That's that clip. So that was the creation of all of this. The women. When it started to unravel, they introduced on the documentary a guy by the name of Neil Bolton, who was running the National Enquirer. Okay, and this guy is a fucking slime ball, and there's a lot of shitty people in this, but this clip when they're introducing this dude Neil Bolton, who he is the one who was kind of instrumental in getting all these stories out. It was the Enquirer that was on top of this. This family friend is talking about how there were people that were trying to take Tiger out, and that there's a mentality in the U.S. that if you're on top, there's always someone trying to dig into you, into your personal life to find things out. And kind of right, but at the same time, you know, we as people in this country and in the world, it's true. We love this type of salacious shit. It's kind of sick, actually. But this was the beginning of the unraveling, because the National Enquirer got a tip about Tiger, and I didn't realize this. I thought it all started with Rachel Uchitel. Or you could tell. I think you said you could tell. When this all unfolded, we thought it was all Rachel. You could tell, and then the rest all kind of fell into place. But no, not at all. you have to go back to, believe it or not, the Perkins waitress. The Perkins waitress predated Rachel Yucatel. And this is the story of that. It's incredible.
Barrel mentality. We're all in the barrel. And we have crabs trying to get out of the barrel. And as soon as they get up to the top, one of the other crabs grabs its leg and pulls it back down into the barrel.
This guy is talking about how the mentality of Woods always want, people always wanting to bring him down. That's kind of what I was just getting at. So that's where this guy starts.
Grabs its leg and pulls it back down into the barrel. So there was a group of people, especially in the media, pulling against him. These detractors were plotting, hoping for his fall.
Now, hold on.
I think...
So, yes, that's true. But at the same time, if Woods were squeaky clean, this would never have happened at all. None of this would have taken place. So, that guy there and Bryant Gumbel also starts to, you know, dive into this whole thing about, yes, he did this, but, and there's a level of, I don't know, they play the race card in it, and I don't know if that's true at all. Bryant Gumbel says, yeah, this was the world finally getting there. Yeah, we knew this was going to happen because the Tiger's part black. And honestly, I don't look at it that way. I'm not a black guy, but still, they kind of did play the race card in the segment, in this portion of it, about how that all had something to do with Tiger Woods' downfall. But anyway.
Well, there was a group of people, especially in the media, pulling against him. These detractors.
Just saying Tiger did what Tiger did. It was his fault.
Hoping for his fall.
It wasn't the media's fault. It was his fault.
I think the Tiger Woods story is a big cautionary tale. Be careful about the image you create.
This is National Enquirer guy.
Be careful to live lies. Be very, very careful, because it could all come tumbling down. The National Enquirer had a history of just smearing people. They knew that the American public loved to see the failings of their famous celebrities, and so they fed that appetite with a vengeance.
Shows the Perkins.
One evening I was at the office, and I got a call to report to the editor-in-chief. There he was, with the biggest smile I'd ever seen on his face. He had the biggest scoop in years. Tiger Woods. Tiger had his trips to Vegas. He had a wild side. And he had an insatiable appetite for women.
Holy shit.
And he made a careless mistake. There was a restaurant where Tiger would go with his wife, not far from home. And at this restaurant was a hostess, Mindy Lawton. And Tiger just couldn't take his eyes off of her.
I was shocked. I was in awe. I didn't think it was real. I didn't think it was happening to me. But I played it cool.
I think we need to look at this. Tiger Woods is going to Vegas. And he'd bring in, they talk about 5-10 women for him into a hotel room. They called it, they described it as the highest of the highest end escorts. He'd go there for a weekend and spend $1 million or several $100,000 on women. Okay. Perkins hostess. She's a Perkins hostess. She looks like any woman in America. She's by no means a hag. I mean, she's not. It's not like she's got a fucking tooth growing out of her eye or some shit. But what's going on there that you then bang onto the door of the fucking Perkins waitress? I'll never understand.
Eyes
that.
Off of her.
I was shocked. I was in awe. I didn't think it was real. I didn't think it was happening to me. But I played it cool.
And they had a furiously eruptive relationship. Sometimes before they could even get to the bedroom of Tiger Woods' home while his wife was out of town, they would make love in the garage against the golf cart. And for the squeakiest and cleanest celebrity probably on earth, that spelled trouble. The National Enquirer immediately sent reporters to track Tiger Woods. They followed him into a church parking lot.
They're showing video, surveillance video. It almost looked like a police sting. You see Woods' SUV show up, and then the other car trailing. It's the Enquirer reporter, and then cameras everywhere showing them. Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it, the extent that the Enquirer went to get this story. And it was all there.
Tiger Woods, they followed him into a church parking lot where they witnessed him having sex with Mindy Lawton. The reporter took photographs of them together and even picked up the tampon that Mindy had discarded and kept it in their vault as proof that Mindy had been there.
All right, hold on a minute. So Tiger's getting ready to have sex with her, and she's like, oh, hey, hang on a second. I'm not quite ready. And then reaches under her skirt and just throws it out the window. So if you're the Enquirer, you go, wait, what the fuck was that? What it just flew out of there? He's got his binoculars. He's looking at it. Hey, something just flew out of the window. Holy shit. And then he has to go and pick up the tampon. And then they hold it as evidence. So is that like when they call and reveal to Woods what they have on him? We even have the tampon as proof. Oh my God, the extent that these people went to get to the bottom of this.
In their vault as proof that Mindy had been there.
Jesus. What were you gonna do?
The National Enquirer called Tiger's team and asked the question, what is Tiger Woods' relationship with Mindy Lawton? And then hung up the phone. Everyone in the Tiger camp went into damage control mode.
Wow.
It was all about how can we kill this story. The National Enquirer knew that they had Tiger Woods, but the photographs were too blurry to run. So they decided they would do a catch and kill and make a deal.
This is greasy.
In exchange
so greasy.
For silence, Tiger would appear on the cover of Men's Fitness, which was owned by the company that owned the National Enquirer.
Wow.
The Tiger camp
no idea.
Considered the deal and considered it favorably.
There he is. He's on the cover of the magazine. That was it.
As salacious as the Mindy Lawton story was, nothing was ever printed. And in the eyes of the public, Tiger Woods remained Tiger Woods.
Okay, so now at this point in the game, if you're Woods, bullet dodged. I mean, for God's sake, fix this fast. Got this beautiful wife, got kids, I think one on the way. And, I mean, when the incident happened on that Thanksgiving, it was sometime over Thanksgiving back in whatever year it was, I remember I was like, what? I mean, I no one had ever heard of this. No one had ever even thought that Tiger Woods was some kind of, like, man whore. But the National Enquirer does come back into play in this story. This was absolutely incredible. No idea that that it all went down with the Perkins waitress with the Enquirer. I I just thought that that was like thrown in at the last minute, but she was at, and she, Mindy Lawton, I think, tried to go back working there, and she may have wound up in jail. Whatever happened to Mindy Lawton? Whatever happened to Mindy Lawton? Where are they now? Boy, this was a couple years after. Oh, whatever happened to her? She got arrested for a suspended license. Actually, in all fairness, that happened way back in April 2010, but she was in Maxim, so she's got that going for her. My best guess is she's a cocktail waitress in Los Angeles. No, is that her? That's not even her. It's Jocelyn James. Hold on a second. There's so many. Holly Sampson, Mindy Lawton. She was in jail for a year as of January 7th, 2011, for drunk driving. And that's about it. That's about all that they have on her. And that was a long, long time ago. I've got more on this, including the moment that Woods got busted, because a woman, when she thinks something is up, in this case, Tiger's beautiful wife, Elin Nordgren, they turn into really, really effective private investigators. And she did just that. And wait until you hear what she did, man. It really wasn't that hard for her. But she took her time in figuring it out and did a hell of a job. Holy shit. I'll have that in just a second. Let me help your business, for God's sake. The Eric Zane Show podcast is growing each and every day with more and more viewers online, more and more listeners downloading the audio podcast. Why aren't you calling me to let me come up with a creative, customized marketing plan for you, okay? It doesn't cost you anything, and I work with any damn budget, okay? Some of you are like, well, I don't know. I just got this small little thing. That's okay. We can get you in on here. Or if it's more of a more extravagant budget, I can help you with that too, of course. Hell, I'm not going to complain if you're going to give me more money. Please reach out to me, eric@ericzaneshow.com, if you need more info about letting me help you creatively market what it is that you're trying to market. Like Senor Joe Martinez. Okay. Joe Martinez and my, of course, A and E Heating and Cooling. Online at aeheatingcooling.net. Now, I posted the video of Joe installing the Remy Halo. R-E-M-E Halo. This device is awesome. It's used in hospitals. It's used in veterinarian facilities to essentially scrub the air of teeny tiny little things that you don't want to breathe into your system. Okay? Normally it's $750 for the Remy Halo. It's $650 if you mention my show. He installs it into a portion of your furnace / air conditioner where the air, the blower motor is going. All the air passes over this crazy-ass light. And, that's what happens. Microbes, viruses, bacteria, pollen, dust, dirt, allergen, pet dander. When it hits the light, it's like, it knocks it out. It's dead. And that's it. So you every year or two, you blow off the bulb, and then that's it. So it's a fantastic thing to keep you breathing clean air in your home. We just installed ours this week, and Diana came home, and she goes, the house doesn't smell like dog anymore. What happened? I go, wow. Well, I was nose blind. But since you were out and you're coming in and you can detect that, that tells me this is working fantastically. That's the sniff test on the Remy Halo. Reach out to Joe at 616-516-8579 for more information on the Remy Halo. Okay. 616-516-8579. I've got a car dealership. It's Sarah Honda. You can buy online or shop online, SarahHondaGranville.com. You can, you look at what the merchandise is, either new, certified pre-owned, or used, or even budget cars, they're all there at Sarah Honda, one location on Kanawha Avenue in Granville, Michigan, right next to the Cracker Barrel, just off 44th Street, SarahHondaGranville.com. Fantastic place to buy a car. The number one volume Honda dealer in the state of Michigan. Thank you very much to Sarah Honda. If you go into the store, please mention that the Eric Zane Show sent you. In fact, seek out a couple of people, either Cameron or Thad, and say, hey, Eric Zane sent me. Please do that if you're in the market for a new vehicle. Check out a Honda. They run forever. Great cars. Okay, so Woods dodges the bullet with the Perkins waitress. The grease balls from the Inquirer are not done, though. Okay? Time passes, and Woods is, he goes to a club, I think, in New York. Her name, and the lady who runs the club is Rachel Yucatel. Hot as hell. And she has a job similar to some of the other people that we talked about earlier. Make sure that the high rollers that are there are taken care of, all the wine they can have, all the beer and the booze, bring chicks to them, stuff like that. Just because it's good for the club when the high rollers keep coming back, that they have a good time. Tiger Woods is there. She described him, Rachel Yucatel, who, you know, this is going to sound strange, but I blame Woods more for all of this nonsense than I do the women, okay, because of the manipulation involved and the position of power that he was in. These women knew what they were getting into when they were rolling with a married man, no question, but I'm going to say 70-30, 70% Woods, 30% all the women. And it's a little bit more sinister as to how he did it, okay? And they'll talk about that in a second. The one I felt terrible for was Elin Nordgren. I mean, here she is, you know, none the wiser, and she has to put up with all this nonsense. But back to Yucatel, she sees Woods, hey, are you okay? Everything good over here? Yeah, I'm fine. And then invites her to sit down. One thing leads to another. Phone number exchanged. 1 minute after he leaves the club, he starts texting her. By the end of the day or end of the night, he's like, I want you to come see me. He can just basically just order these women around. I want you to come. She describes it as, I want you to come see me in Orlando. She's all in. She goes to Orlando. They have sex. And she's like, oh, this is great. She falls in love with this guy. He's in love with her. He's telling her, saying to her all the right things. Well, she, at one point, this is, you know, the affair is going on for a long period of time. Woods goes to the Australian Open. He's dominating. He's kicking so much ass, okay? He can't stop winning. He calls her up and says, I cannot golf unless you're here with me. I need you that much. And so she's like, oh, my God, I'm so in love with this guy. He can't even do what he's born to do, what he's programmed to do, because I'm not there. This is incredible. So she's drunk with power. He's drunk with power. She has no idea that she's been being trailed by the National Enquirer again. They're all over it, okay? And they're now not going to do any deal. They're going to fucking crucify this guy. We pick it up with she's walking into the elevator to go to see Woods in his room. She just gets there. They've got pictures of her walking in. I mean, seriously, like the Black Ops, they've got her driving in, pictures of her getting out of the car with her bag. You've seen these pictures. And then there's footage in the that the Inquirer obtained from the elevator of her getting into the elevator. And the National Enquirer guy is getting into the elevator with Rachel Yucatel, who's going to Tiger Woods' room, and that's where we pick it up.
The National Enquirer had sent a reporter to the Crown Casino in Melbourne. And the reporter got into an elevator with Rachel Yucatel, followed her to the top floor, watched as she walked to Tiger's suite, and that's when the National Enquirer called and said, you're going to see Tiger Woods.
Fuck.
We did everything to try and stop that story. We made every threat. We made every...
How'd you like to be Woods trying to golf with that specter looming over you? that they're going to publish the story. They've got everything they need. We're just letting you know we're publishing the story. Oh, my God.
Denial. And at the end of the day, the story was going to run.
When Tiger got back to Florida, he sits down with Elin, his wife, and he says, look, there's a story coming from the National Enquirer. It's all garbage, and I can prove it.
Oh my God.
He gives her his phone, and it's Rachel Lukatel.
We had an extensive 30-minute conversation, Elin and I, convincing her that I was not having a sexual relationship with Tiger.
It's the old get out in front of it technique. Like, yeah, no, no. So, all right, great.
We talked about how I knew Tiger, how I knew his friends, how and why I was in Australia.
Elin was already inclined to believe that the tabloid media, you know, was hurtful, not to believe them, that they were bad. So she sort of was inclined to go along with all of that.
So you thought.
The story came out and nobody looked at it. Between this stupid story and the phone call with Elin, I remember thinking, oh my God, we're gonna slide right over this.
Okay, they all think that. Elin is not buying it though, but she's not telling anybody. She's waiting, which is that whole fucking sleuth, detective, patient, scorned wife thing. Oh my God. After this, a couple days pass, and then it's Thanksgiving, okay? So she sees the article, and she's like, oh, she's playing it off to Tiger. Like, oh, yeah, you were right, those assholes. Yeah, that boy, they're stupid. But Woods and you could tell are none the wiser that she's about to kick ass. Waiting.
2 days later, it was Thanksgiving. Tiger and I texted throughout the day saying that we have a lot to be grateful for. We had gotten away unscathed
in
what could have been a complete nightmare.
No, you didn't.
And then I get this text message from Tiger saying, you were the only one I ever loved. I remember just feeling that things had never been better between us. And then he told me he was taking an Ambien and going to sleep. When I got another text from him, I was kind of surprised. What came through was something like, when am I going to see you again? And then the phone rang. I answered, saying something like, hey, babe, I thought you went to sleep. And instead of Tiger's voice, it was Elin.
Whoa!
And she said, I knew it was you.
Fuck yes! Fuck yes! Oh, my God! Elin! Oh, with the hole-in-one. She did the old grab the phone when Tiger's asleep on Ambien trick. The fact that she sent the Elin sent the text that said whatever it said. The one that you could tell was like, well, I thought you were taking a nap. And you could tell it was probably like, that's kind of weird. And then she probably responded with something like, yeah, I want to suck your dick or something like that to Woods. Which that, and then the phone rings and it says your boyfriend, Tiger Woods, is calling you. And then you answer it like that with, hey, babe. Oh, no. Oh. Oh.
911 emergency.
I need an ambulance immediately. I have someone down in front of my house. They hit a pole. I came out to see.
Is it a car accident, sir?
It's a car accident, yes. I need you, yes.
Okay, and are they trapped inside of the vehicle?
No, they're laying on the ground, yeah.
Are you unconscious?
Yes.
Okay, are you able to tell if he's breathing?
No, I can't tell right now.
Okay.
That's Tiger.
What happened?
Tiger's mom on the 911 call. I don't know why she's on there, but I don't know why she was with the 911 caller, but Elin hangs up on you could tell, gets a driver, and goes into Tiger's bedroom and bashes him. No, she didn't hit him with that. She hit the car with that. Woods gets up. She smacks him across the face, and her nails gouges his face. The rumor was she hit him with the driver, but no. Woods goes running out of the house and gets into the SUV. She's chasing it down the street. She smashes out one of the windows with the driver. This is like right in his neighborhood. He turns out of the driveway and he's stoned on Ambien. He's looking over his shoulder while he's driving. He hits a fire hydrant and then a tree fucks up the car. He stumbles out of the car and he's laying on the ground. Elin shows up. So now, they said she cared for him, but who knows what the hell she did to him. And then that's where it picks it up with the 911 call. That's how the ugliness unraveled. So, oh my God. Incredible. And then I remember hearing, I had forgotten about the National Enquirer article. The chick was right. It did mean nothing, but I remember seeing it. And then when a handful of days later, you see Woods in a car accident. And then I remember I was on the air and I was like, that's weird. No, it was the car accident was Thanksgiving weekend. So we weren't on the air. It was the days after that it started to unravel. About this may have been something more sinister. It wasn't just a fender bender or something like that. So then that was it. Okay, so then all of the women come out. All right? And this is where it gets weird. This is where I actually felt a little bad for some of these women. Because this one lady who runs a nightclub, you'll hear her talk about what Tiger Woods was doing there that made this a little bit more than just banging chicks on the side.
Alleged mistresses to speak out in a live interview. You came here today, you said, because you wanted to clear up.
Sorry, I think her name is Jamie Jungers or something like that. She was a porn star that Tiger had a relationship with Meredith Vieira on the Today Show.
Alleged mistresses to speak out in a live interview. You came here today, you said, because you wanted to clear up some of the information that's been out there about you, like this headline, Tiger paid me. Never paid you for anything, you said.
Nothing. I didn't even get a birthday card. I got nothing out of this relationship but a broken heart.
You loved him.
I did.
When this hit the tabloids and everything came out, it seemed like everybody was focused on the sex part. But that's not what busted him. Ultimately, what took Tiger down was emotions. These weren't girls that he was just hooking up with once and then tossing away. He had relationships with these girls.
You know, we would cuddle, hug, whatever it may be, and he always, you know, had his hand intertwined with mine, saying, you know, we will always be together.
Oh,
so many girls came out.
Fucking asshole.
Because Tiger obviously hit the heart and played with girls' emotions.
Are you still in love with him?
Yeah. I always will be.
Oh, God.
He must have done something.
I felt fucking terrible for these women. They're like losing their shit. And I don't know. You might want to say, well, they're stupid. It's like, well, you got to understand this is Tiger Woods, okay? Handsome, young, the richest man that you'd ever find, the best at it. And he's telling them, and they think that they know he's married, but they think they're the only one. But he's fucking everybody. Oh, my God. So that's, I don't know. There's a small spot in my heart for all of these women that he's having relationships with, because he's fucking with them all. And if you're Woods, how do you fucking do that? I mean, it's bad enough that you're ruining the life of your wife, or well, she, I guess your life isn't ruined. She's doing quite well, but you've done this. That's bad enough. You've already hurt one woman to her core when she finds out about this. But then all of these chicks who they don't have $100 million in the divorce settlement. I don't know, man. The whole thing is just so fucked up to me.
Make them feel very special, and they were jealous. They were hurt. They wanted to be the one, and they found out there was more than one.
God, what an absolute mess. Son of a bitch. This is a clip from that guy from the Enquirer, that really greasy guy with the bow tie, Neil Bolton. He is delighting in all of this.
Women rumored to have hooked up with Tiger Woods is up to 11!
Jay Leno.
My first thought was, look at how the country is taking delight in his failure.
Like, America couldn't have
D.L. Hughley
loved Tiger Woods more than they did 5 years ago.
found out the man like pussy, everybody lost their goddamn mind.
Shit.
Tiger had sex with 15 women. They were all white, so Tiger don't need marriage counseling. He need diversity training.
It was great American entertainment.
Holy shit.
Doesn't get any better than that.
He says, doesn't get any better than that. Oh, my God. And then there's this clip. This is the last one, I swear to God. Rachel, you could tell, is this is days after, okay? And she's just being hunted down, man. And a couple of things to point out here. This is just an example of the paparazzi. I'm going to pause this as some of the people. This one guy in particular sounds like he's from like a radio station or the Stern Show, maybe, saying just rude shit to her as she walks out of her residence and she doesn't even know what the fuck's going on. She hasn't heard from Tiger. In this clip, she talks about when Woods finally does reach out to her. But it starts with clips of the paparazzi just hounding her.
Hey, Rachel. Hey, Rachel.
Damn! So this is why Tiger wanted to leave the wife?
Did you?
So she walks out, her hair is not even done, and the guy goes, "Damn! So this is why Tiger wanted to leave the wife? What a fucking, what an asshole!"
Hey, Rachel. Hey, Rachel.
Damn! So this is why Tiger wanted to leave the wife?
Oh, did you love Tiger?
All the other girls.
Excuse me, guys. No, I can't make any comment, you guys.
Are you a fan of the song "Ooh Baby, I Like It Raw"?
Are you a fan of "Ooh Baby, I Like It Raw"?
I think you should get a test. STDs are a problem out there.
Oh, my God.
This story was so huge. That was the end of my life as I knew it. There now were probably 45 to 50 paparazzi outside of my apartment telling me that I was a homewrecker, that I was a whore, saying, "I hope you get AIDS and die."
Do you feel sorry for Tiger's wife, Rachel? Anything you want to say to her?
I regret that he was married, and I regret the mistakes that I made.
Rachel, do you guys respect that Tiger was married? Why do women cheat with married men?
But people came at me like they wanted to blame me for the fact that a married man cheated on his wife. And it was like I was the only one that was responsible for Tiger's actions.
Rachel, why do you say
you can tell she's a hooker.
Fuck.
My name was getting dragged through the mud.
Hey, so Rachel, did Tiger live up to his name? Tiger. What's the name of Tiger Woods? Smile from your Rachel.
In the meantime, none of the people around Tiger would answer my phone calls. It made me really start to question every single thing that Tiger and I had. Finally, I said, you know what? I want out of this. I need to say what happened. But before I could tell my story to the media, Tiger called me.
Wow.
It was the first time that I spoke to him since the accident. He told me that his lawyers were going to call about a settlement of confidentiality. He said to me,
"Wow,
get as much as you can.
Get as much as you can."
And I think to him, that was his only way to love me at the time. Yeah.
Oh my God. What an absolute mess. And that's where I wrap it up. Holy crap. This is what I'm going to do. I'm understanding that that Facebook said you can't play that audio. It's against our policies. What I'm going to do is I'm going to shut this down and then restart. Okay. So we will reconvene with the rest of the show in just a second. I apologize for this, but sometimes this happens. You know, I mean, because there's so many, all the work is done at Facebook. Some guy playing a couple of clips from the Tiger Woods documentary is the big concern. So I'm going to shut this down, and then I will come back with the rest of the show. Stand by. I think I'm back. Are we back? I'm back! the saddle again. Oh, my God. Yeah, so if you're on Facebook, welcome. It was a weird scenario, but apparently Facebook is not happy that I played the long-form clips of the Tiger Woods documentary. Whatever. So, all right. Pick up the pieces. If you want the full thing, you can get the first part of the show uninterrupted. I think it's on YouTube. I saw a lot of the folks commenting on YouTube, and I'm sure on Twitter as well. So, anyway, we're back. We'll finish up the show. God, I look so old. What is the deal with me? God, and I've been sleeping pretty well. I rarely sit there and look at my face, but oh, it's just horrible. What a disaster. Father Time always wins. On that Woods documentary, they were talking with the wife of Mark O'Meara, legendary golfer, and his wife, oh my God, the poor thing. It's like Father Time is so undefeated. Why does it always have to steal the beauty? Why can't we just get old and still retain the beauty? It's such a fucking gut punch to people. Son of a bitch. So, all right. Anyway, it really, to me, the whole thing, wrapping up the whole deal about Woods, I just cannot believe that how drunk with power that guy was, and how, you know, how this all unfolded. It's really kind of sickening. And if you're anybody that ever had a relationship with him after the fact, I think that world famous skier Lindsey Vonn had a relationship with Woods for a period of time. But my God, and the trail of destruction, and the fact that his kids were very young at the time, they probably weren't aware of it when it happened, but they're going to grow up and they're going to see this. And it's just, well, I think the one kid, Charlie, is 11. I guess he's a hell of a golfer. Oh boy, that is, I do not envy him. That is a tall order to try to navigate that. And I mean, if the kid goes to school and somebody said, oh, your dad was such a whore. Oh, fuck. Well, hey, lesson learned. Don't cheat on your wife. Okay, at the end of the day, you cheating on your wife, she will always find out. She always will, no matter what. You think you've got all your tracks covered, okay? You think you've got everything covered, and there's no way you're going to get caught, and your money's going to bail you out, and everything's going to work out. No way. You have no shot of getting away with it, okay? And if you're just starting into the relationship with just flirty texts and shit like that, shut that down. Shut it down, because you're going to save yourself a ton of misery. Okay, reconnect with your wife. Do not cheat on your wife. And for women, do not cheat on your men. For God's sake, don't do that. Ugh, fuck. What a nightmare. All right. As we pick up the pieces from getting the feed shut down, I apologize for that. Henry Steffes, the Steffes Group of Keller Williams Realty, invites you to reach out to them at thesteffesgroup.com. Okay? If you are thinking about listing your home, this is the way to go. I mean, seriously. Henry and his lovely better half do an amazing job with their staff at putting you in front of some of the finest homes that you can imagine for your budget. That's what they work with. You're like, hey, this is what I'm looking for, this, this, and this. Just let Henry and his team do their thing. And if you're thinking about listing your home, same thing. This is your crew, the Steffes Group of Keller Williams Realty. Henry, his lovely wife, Ashley, not to mention Jenny. She is also a part of the key team that gets it done there at thesteffesgroup.com. Thank you so much for being a sponsor, Henry. Talk to you very soon. Henry loves doing events, like fun things with groups of people. And it's really tugging at his heartstrings and making him, I mean, he's like, I want to get back out, but he can't do it. So as soon as we get past, he's the one that was going to help organize a chili cook-off. Remember our first chili cook-off? That was all Henry's idea. So, you know, I mean, seriously, at the end of the day, we can't do it right now, but eventually we will. And the Steffes Group of Keller Williams Realty is who I want you to call when you need to list your home or if you're looking for a home. Okay. Getting in shape, F45 in Byron Center, Michigan. They're awesome. If you're in and around the community of Byron Center, Michigan, please consider reaching out to F45. And this is great because this is the type of place you get in there and it's a 45-minute workout. You go from station to station, maybe the medicine ball, or you're doing something with the ropes, or you're doing burpees, or you're doing some other workout. It's all like for a certain amount of time, minute or so, maybe less. Then you move to the next station. You move to the next station. Real lung burner, real heart worker. You're going to be stressing your muscles like you wouldn't believe, and you're going to get in shape fast. And you can try it for free, my friends, for free. Just go to F45, letter F, the number 4, the number 5, F45training.com/Byron Center, and click on the workout free right there. It's in red. Click on it, and then you will get started. Thank you, F45 in Byron Center, Michigan. Okay. A lot of sex on the show today. It seems like everything I'm talking about is sex-related outside of the inauguration. Which, by the way, did you see Lady Gaga? Who, seriously, I think I'm in love with her. She is, not like in Tiger Woods' mistress love, but I mean, she just can sing like crazy. She can sing the shit out of anything. My God. She sang, I took one look at her. I go, Hunger Games. She had the big giant bird pin, which was kind of like something that Katniss would wear. And then, but the bright colors and the hair, she looked like one of the rich people in the Hunger Games. Then Hillary Clinton in the purple gear. Oh God, it was all influenced by that. And then one of my favorites of all time, Jennifer Lopez, who I think is 22 years old, sang her ass off. My God, you know, you got to give it up for the Democrats, okay? Because when it comes to entertainment, it's not even close. Garth Brooks appeared. How about that? I mean, that was legendary. And I hope that if you're someone who is like a Republican and Garth Brooks performs, please don't be a cock who then you fucking hate Garth Brooks now because he sang. If you're one of those people, you seriously need a reality check, okay? Kid Rock, who is as red state as anybody, he performed at Barack Obama's inauguration. So just understand that it's not about political parties or anything like that. Nobody's pledging allegiance to one party or another. It's just the time to inaugurate someone so you get the best and the brightest. But God bless the Democrats because you got these big hitters that are performing. You know, I mean, too often at anything Republican, you're going to see, you know, fucking a Molly Hatchet tribute band or the little guy that sings God Bless the USA or Proud to Be an American, which is a fine song, but it's like, how many times can you hear that? Or you fucking Chuck Norris is going to try to say something important. I don't know. The fucking My Pillow guy is going to be throwing out pillows to people. Fuck that shit. I want Lady Gaga and J-Lo and Garth Brooks, okay? The 22-year-old poet laureate. How about her? She was amazing. Fuck, Republicans got to work on appealing more to the entertainment industry because it's all bullshit. It's so one-sided. It's not even close. My God. By the way, don't get all worked up about this. It's all tongue-in-cheek. If any of you get pissed off about this, you're stupid. Okay. Taco Bell employee in a small community in Arkansas is reeling. In fact, I should probably do this. Hold on a second. Newport, Arkansas, Taco Bell. There's only one. Shit. They open at 10 a.m. That's a bummer. I'm going to have to throw a call into these people. I was hoping isn't Taco Bell open for breakfast? What the fuck? All right. Lana Wells took a job at Taco Bell in Newport, Arkansas. Her regular job. No one give it away on the live stream. Kenny, I'm looking at you. Her regular job had it so she wasn't nearly as productive because of COVID. So with that great American spirit. This young lady, 33-year-old lady, said, I got to make ends meet, man. I gotta get this job. So she took a job, probably $9.50 an hour at Taco Bell. I wouldn't have done that. I mean, I would have maybe a rideshare gig or something like that, or Uber Eats or whatever. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't have a car. I don't know. But I think her other gig might have been working. I don't know if she could at least afford a car. Why are you going to Taco Bell? In fact, she was very prominent in her regular job. She had won awards for it. Actually, she was nominated for certain awards. She's in like media, content distribution. I guess not that much different than this. Well, probably a little bit more, actually a lot more different than what I do, but still through the internet, producing content. Well, she's on the job, Lana Wells, for like a week and a half, and then she gets called into the office, and they said, Lana, we've had a complaint, and because of the complaint, we're going to have to let you go. And it actually came in the form of a phone call from the manager mere minutes before she was about to start her job. And she said they couldn't have even given me a heads up or waited until I got there to say something, she said in an interview. I just started bawling. I don't know if it was because I was upset or what, or if I was angry or a little bit of both. Well, it turns out that her regular day job kind of went against their policy, and then that was it, and then somebody complained about it, and I was like, what? All right, Zane, what's going on here? Well, let me just tell you. The award that she was nominated for was by an organization called the AVN, which is Adult Video something, maybe Adult Video News. It's known as the Oscars of porn. And well, she's really good at pornography. She shoots like homemade porno and posts it online. And she has a OnlyFans page, which is, I'm not really sure what that is, but I think it has something to do with pornography. And well, that was it. She says that in the interviewing process, she was up front with the manager. This is weird. Wells said she talked to the manager, April Garcia, about her experience as an online sex worker during the interview process. Now you're like, how could she possibly be losing money? I mean, it's an online job. She says that she would the money stopped pouring in after she stopped performing in porn shoots that were on location to avoid catching COVID. Okay, so that's where the loss in income happens. So she decided to get a job at she made a run for the fucking border. My God, it just sounds crazy to me. She claims that the boss told her, well, this is not going to cause any problems. Whatever you do in your spare time is your business. So she was up front with the boss. She claims that Taco Bell later issued a statement claiming that Wells had been fired due to a violation of the store's policies and procedures. Taco Bell team members come from diverse backgrounds and experiences and all are... No, they don't. Come on. Well... All right, I guess if you want to say diverse backgrounds, maybe all different ethnicities and experiences, like, I don't know, young, poor, dumb. All right, if that's the way you describe it, experiences into the Taco Bell family. The Taco Bell family. My God, come on. This former team member worked for a franchise location, and the franchisee has informed us that the accusations made are not accurate and that she was instead terminated for violations of their policies and procedures. So that's it. She started a GoFundMe, I think. And I think she's actually doing okay. Hold on a second here. She raised the goal. I looked at it last night, Lana Wells. And she had a goal of $2,000, and she passed it. She's up to $2,136. Her goal is $5,000. And all right, and you see a bunch of creepers who are contributing to it. Most of them dudes. Oh my God. I actually reached out to this chick in hopes to get her on the podcast. But my God, I don't know. What do you think? Was Taco Bell right for firing her? I don't know. To me, you just let sleeping dogs lie. It ends up making you look bad, I guess. I don't know. I mean, she's in porno. How bad is it that you're in porno and then your plan B is to fucking make gorditas for people? Holy shit. Finally this morning, according to Twitter, of all the 50 states, they have them ranked during the pandemic, ranking 1 to 50, most activity to least activity, talking about sex. Michigan, with a bullet, number one, talking about sex online. According to the data, of more than 2 million geotagged tweets in the last 9 months, residents of the great state of Michigan. Yeah, it's probably like if it all is based on, yeah, fuck Whitmer. Screw Whitmer and her filthy asshole or other terrible things about Whitmer. That's what this is. This has nothing to do with let's actually have sex. It's all fuck Whitmer. That's what they're basing. It has to be. I mean, Michigan residents, you don't have to go far before you find somebody who wants to kidnap the governor, for God's sake. Michigan residents talking about sex more than residents of any other state. Tweets, hashtags, and keyword phrases about sex and wanting sex like I need sex and I want sex are considered as part of the data. Who tweets out I need sex or I want sex? Actually, if you use Zaniacs, actually, I can see you actually doing that. I would not tweet out I need sex or I want sex. But I'm encouraging you to because we need to keep our number one status going forward. Excuse me. Hang on. Oh, my God. All those phrases were considered as part of the data study conducted by the adult merchandise website Pink Cherry. Zaniac Amanda, the dildo farmer. Yeah, you could probably contribute to this. Are you finding that your sex business that you run is seeing more traffic during the pandemic? Number two, Nevada. Makes sense. Followed by New Mexico, Georgia, Texas, Illinois, California, Washington, South Carolina, and New York round out the top 10. Michiganders want the most sex. Folks, I want to hear from you. If you could, reach out to me, Eric at ericzaneshow.com. The Shoreliner's striping in by. As I said, I got to cut the show a little bit short today because of my dentist appointment. And then I'll have the Patreon. Sorry for the confusion with the show being cut in half on Facebook, but those bastards deleted me. If you want the first half of the live stream, video replay, you can get it on my YouTube and I think on my Twitter. I haven't seen if they canceled me on Twitter, but for sure you can get me on YouTube. Just find Eric Zane Show there. Subscribe to the channel and you can watch that video. All right. Or download the audio podcast wherever you download podcasts. Have a good one, folks. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you so much. Till next time. Bye-bye.